Welcome to the Black Multiverse Theory Podcast.
Episode 0. So this is definitely a community podcast and it's building going forward. So we want to hear from you. Give us lots of feedback so that we can all grow together and build and see what we can do.
Absolutely.
So who are you?
My name is Nigel Williams.
Hi, Nigel.
Hi. Hey. I am from Edmonton. Alberta, Canada, for those of you who are international and want to look up where that's at. And who are you?
Hi, I'm Nilo to all of you, and I am from Linden, Guyana, and grew up in Beaumont, Alberta, often confused with Beaumont, Texas. And then lived my entire adult life in the United States of America. Okay, so the Black Multiverse Theory. I don't get any reverb when I say it, only you. What's up?
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, so the Black Multiverse Theory. Sounds like a theory, it sounds super scientific. Could you define it?
For me, it's very scientific.
Yeah.
The Black Multiverse Theory, for me, is us, Black people, we are living many versions of ourselves all at the same time.
Yeah.
So, I am many things. MC, tradesman, singer, but the world sees me.
As a black guy.
As a black guy.
You're essentially a black guy.
Hey, black guy.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And the world sees me as two different types of black guys, threatening and not threatening. And so I find myself at nighttime.
Smiling more.
Not smiling more.
Okay.
Actually,
opposite.
I need people away from, I don't want people to
anywhere
come
closer. Okay, fair. That is so crazy, bro. Yo, people here really act like everything is like, oh, everybody all the time. At least it's not like the States. At least it's not like the States. I'm like, oh, is it not like the States? Because it seems a fucking lot like the States.
It is a lot like the States.
So what's all this then? All this racism?
We got a lot of subtle racism here.
They say that, you know. Big shout out to Adora in Calgary. She definitely defined subtle and not subtle racism for me because I was not understanding really what the difference was.
What did she say?
Well, she said that subtle racism is racism where people might make assumptions or disparage you because of your race, but they're not actively using race, like, in the sentence. I don't really have an example of that. But what's subtle about it is that there's no race actively in the sentence. So it might be, like, mispronouncing your name, which is, like, classic. It might be othering you, like, oh wow, that's so exotic. Oh, I love your skin. Mm-hmm. Right? Where it's not actively using like your race. Like, you're black, but you're not like black.
That's subtle. That's not subtle. When they're saying you're black, but you're not like black.
Right. So that one is not subtle because there's the difference is that there is blackness directly said in the sentence. But the other one where it's like, wow, you're so exotic. Wow, how do you, you know, that like othering feeling, microaggressions, like those ones are the subtle ones. How would you define subtle racism?
I would agree with you on the examples that you used. We get a lot of subtle racism, like people will not hire you for a job or they don't want you to get a space because... They don't want certain people in that space.
Yeah, we went the through a culture, lot of that. Mm-hmm. The culture.
Maintain the culture of the space.
Yeah. Security issues. We're concerned about security.
Yeah. So they'll say stuff like that.
Right.
You notice subtle racism. You go into a shop and the person follows you around.
Right.
You know, they're not actually saying anything. They're just following you. Or they'll ID you. Or you'll go
just make everything harder generally. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I like to say is that everybody in the job that you do, you can be a facilitator or you can be a gatekeeper. And most of the time, you can decide which one you're being. And most of the time, you decide differently based on who's in front of you, right?
Sure.
Okay. So tell me about this black card. What's that?
Well, the black card is an amazing idea to infuse our community and our black community with a monetary system that influences and promotes our businesses.
The businesses. I like to call it an economic empowerment initiative.
So,
that's what I decided.
Economic empowerment
initiative. Yeah. Doesn't it seem like I thought a lot about those words?
You sure did.
Yeah. So what's the focus of the black card? Why black? Why the black card?
The black card, its inception came from the thought of people saying that you're not black. People used to say this in the 90s, that you're not black or you lost your black card. They'll ask you a question like, yo, did you hear Beyonce's new album?
Yeah, I lost my black card last week because I don't know how to play spades. So
you don't know how to play spades? You're black card. Come on. You didn't give me a black card.
Listen. This is a conversation for another day altogether.
For those of you who know about spades, spades is an American pastime.
It is, but also, if you didn't grow up playing spades with your little kid friends and your little teenager friends, there is no way to get the necessary amount of experience it takes to actually learn that game, because nobody is trying to drag your ass and be your partner in a space game. You're like, what's a book, huh?
That's why you're new.
8 books. There's no way you have 8 books. Put 5.
That's you are considered a newbie.
So newbie. But I've watched many.
And so you watch many a game.
Many spades, a game of spades.
Spades in America, or in certain places, especially in the southern states,
right.
Especially there, is a huge game. It is equivalent to the Caribbean dominoes game, where you can't just come in.
Magic. Spades is big anywhere. I think all over the East Coast. I don't know about the West Coast, because New York spades is big too. Like, yeah.
But yeah. But in saying that, the reason why I'm saying the southern states is because it's huge, huge, huge there. Like, get in a fight if you renege on your card.
Yeah, same with New York.
So it's like, you know, you don't want to do that. So here in Canada, I'm not really comparing that to the other states, but more to Canada.
Right.
We don't do that. I mean, I think our closest thing
to I have is, never, you know, Uno?
So that's basically our space. It's our space.
It's so true.
So, and it's not even that.
You said Uno. We said
Uno. So, you know, you lose your black card for different things like that.
Right. Back to the black card, though.
Back to the black card.
Right.
So, that's why we started talking about this, because I when we were thinking about the black card or something like this, we wanted to give people something that's symbolic to that. So we took something that would normally be used for negative, because nobody ever talks about the black card unless they're trying to take it away.
Right.
They're trying to take it away.
Got my new black card.
So now when you sign up and you get your black card, and you'll be able to get it online pretty soon at
blackcard.ca. That's blkcard.ca.
.ca. So mm-hmm. you sign up, we'll be able to get you your black card. Your black card will work very simply. Black card will go around. You can use your black card at different businesses to get discounts, to get different perks and benefits with it.
Right, and the businesses will be listed on blackcard.ca. That's blkcard.ca. And it's a great way to keep the dollar circulating in the community, which makes everybody stronger, right?
Stronger.
You know, there's a lot of people say stuff about, like, black people spending money, like, especially because my client base is largely black, people like to warn me. Like, I've been in business for a few years now. I think me and the blacks have figured this out.
The people who are warning you, are they black?
They're black people.
You know what? Because we live in such a fickle society.
I love my people.
We live in such a fickle society of black people where we tend to judge everything and everyone and ourselves.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
So when we get into, like, different things, especially black hair, you know, we choose stuff based off of emotional struggle or changes in our lifestyle.
Trauma.
Whatever.
Oh, yeah. That's a motivator.
Right?
The Caribbean? What?
Break up with your boyfriend? You go to the local bar.
Yo. It's a thing.
Yeah. And if you have locks, I noticed that a lot of people generate energy into the hair, and they feel like they need to shave it all off when they go through a next cycle or phase.
Yeah, people, I've heard of that. People have a lot of, like, thoughts about it. Certain things with my locks, like, I try not to show my locks at funerals, for example. I typically try to wrap it up. You know, like, particularly emotional, grief-stricken times, the idea that they kind of absorb that energy. But I didn't, when my father passed away about 5 years ago, I don't think I thought about cutting my locks at all.
I hear that.
Yeah. But I do, like, I understand that that is part of a journey. I'm definitely like, okay, you know, what do you need to do? And then there's reattachments now. They're doing really cool things with, like, reattaching locks and stuff. So some people have cut off their locks, grown out their hair, grown new locks, and then reattached the old locks on it.
Hmm.
Yeah. For a long time, I was like, And then recently, I was like, I can do it.
Wait a minute. With the reattachment,
mm-hmm.
You're just attaching it on? Does it fuse? Like, how does that work?
Well, at Aphrodisiac Natural Shop, we'll be having all kinds of workshops that tell you the specific. Asking me for proprietary information. What's wrong with you?
I'm just wanting, you know, a quick, you know.
So pretty much, you can find this anywhere online. So pretty much, you form the lock with the hair, and then with the unattached lock, you open the ends.
Mm-hmm.
So what you have is, like, two locks that open into, like, fuzziness, mm-hmm. and then you pretty much, like, boop, scissor them together,
uh-huh.
and then you have a real small what's called a latch hook. Some people use crochet hook, and you just pull the hair in and out as quickly as possible. You can also use a felting needle, so
okay,
and kind of
felt
the hair together.
I learned something new.
Did you though?
I did.
What do you think you could do that? What I just told you?
What do you mean? Are you kidding me? No, but I can look at it and say, hey, she's reattached.
This is what's happening.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. You could probably repeat it if I put it on an exam.
I definitely can repeat it.
Okay, that's you can put it in, like, 1, 2, 3 order.
Yeah, and I'll use all the hand signals that nobody can see as well with the interlocking and the fuzziness. Yeah, the whole thing.
Yep, that's it. That's all the steps.
Yeah, the whole thing.
You got it right there.
With how we are dealing with racism in our cities. We just had our provincial election.
Yeah, it's my first provincial election here as a grown person. Did you vote?
I did vote. It's a big process for me and the family.
Nice.
So I normally go home. Mm-hmm. We pick up the children. We walk over to the local school or wherever it's at.
That's nice.
This year they changed it. It wasn't at a school for us. It was a school that's actually closest to us. It wasn't there. It was at the rec center that's closest to us.
In my mind, I imagine all of your children holding hands while you and your wife vote in two booths beside each other.
That is a great scenario, but it is totally not what happens.
Okay.
What happens is my children are very normal and like every other curious child. They're going into everybody's, who are you going to vote for? Who are you voting
like,
for?
That's illegal.
And people are like, get away from me. That's just how it is. But we walk there.
So what you're saying is that you bring your children to the voting booths to force people
to spy on who voted and make sure they vote for the right candidates.
Okay. Okay, fair enough.
So, yeah, so this year we did not take the children, but we did go to the new voting area.
Okay.
It was a very quick vote. I literally thought it was going to be more than what it was. Uh-huh. But it literally was get there, take your registration card, if you're registered already, go to the booth that they tell you to go to, put your X on it and put in the thing, and deuces, you're done. Hmm. So there's no lineup because they have quite a few things going on.
In Canada, you can register at the poll even, right? Like, you don't have to pre-register at all. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you can register at the poll. So it's pretty cool. You can just go there and register.
Was it you? Somebody recently, I think last week, was like, it's my civic duty. Was that you?
I don't think I said it's my civic duty. No, I don't think that was okay. Me. But you know what?
Somebody did say it.
It is my civic duty.
It happens to be.
To go and vote. Because okay. it affects everything. It affects even your business, how you mm-hmm. you deal with it. It's good to know who your MLA is for your area, because that person can help you out for different things that you need. So I used my MLA when I was dealing with Haircuts for Hatred. There was a man on the West End mm-hmm. who had graffiti, swastikas and things painted all over his barbershop.
Wow.
And so we went out there with the news cameras. One of my homeboys there, Jesse Lipscomb, was there. Mm-hmm. And we did a whole...
Jesse does so much stuff around the city. I've never met him in real life.
In Hyena.
He pretty much knows everybody. Everyone's like, "Hey, Jesse, get out. You should. I'm like, I don't know that man. I do not know him. But I do follow him. So yes. I'm a fan.
And all the peoples mm-hmm. know about the Lipscomb. So
yeah,
he is
a local hero and legend.
He is. But it stems past that. Mm-hmm. It's not him who's the local hero. Mm-hmm. It's actually his football star grandfather, who is was a huge Edmonton Eskimo, and then he's the product of that.
Oh, so he's like roots, how do you say?
Rooted and grounded.
No, there's a word, legacy in this city.
He's legacy.
Okay.
So that's why he comes in, and then he made a name for himself, so he's not actually on the curtails of anything. So anybody who knew him, who knew his father back then, kind of mm-hmm. knows him. But he's then made his name. He has a thing called Making It Awkward. So the Making It Awkward portion is talking about different things of racism and stuff like that. So he's a
all the isms.
Yes. And just like you... he's an activist.
I found out today that I was an activist,
you,
by the way.
You are an activist.
Okay.
And so that's why, you know, I got to ask you, did you vote?
Oh, I did not vote. I did not vote this last election. So my reason for not voting this time around, specifically, I don't feel comfortable enough with who the parties are, what they stand for. I have no idea what their platform is. And I personally believe that when I am ready to vote, I'm going to use my vote for First Nations people. So I'm going to look at what their priorities are and what it is they want out of the government and vote in that direction. But I feel like this time around, I didn't have enough information to make an informed decision. And I felt really uncomfortable just getting wrapped up with just like doing what everybody else thinks. Because UCP? Okay. See? I don't even know what these are called. Okay. So while the UPCs have no black people, the NDPs only have one black guy. So, like, what is it that I'm choosing between now? There's no representation still.
Well, I wouldn't say that the NDPs have no black people.
Isn't David Shepherd the only black MLA?
No. But
there's other black MLAs? Who are they?
I don't know the names of the other black MLAs. But David Shepherd is the poster man for the NDP. He has been put on the forefront. So you see him, he's at many events, and so you know who he is.
Mm-hmm. He's at everything.
Mm-hmm. But then the question really is, who are the black UCP people?
Yeah, who are they? I know black people support the party.
But do you know any of the names of any of the black people? You know they're there.
No.
Exactly. So the NDP strategically...
Put this guy. I don't know that they're there. Are they?
Make sure you remembered his name.
How many black MLAs are there? And I don't know David Shepherd because the NDP showed me David Shepherd. I know David Shepherd because at every African thing, every Islamic thing, any POC event, David Shepherd is there.
I am the PR representative for the National Black Coalition of Canada, Edmonton chapter, or mm-hmm. Edmonton. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm currently one of the umbrellas and one of the hats that I wear. Mm-hmm. And we did a banquet. The banquet, we had quite a few black representatives from the UCP party.
Really?
Mm-hmm. There was about four.
Okay.
And they all came. They were fantastically dressed. And they came. They had a great time. But
did they win? Do they have ridings?
You know what? I didn't even check to see who's won yet.
They were running.
Mm-hmm. But they were running in.
Okay.
And so... Also, David Shepherd was there. But the funny thing about David Shepherd and the NDP party, they do strategic marketing for themselves. So where the UCP, they showed up at the banquet, mm-hmm. and the black individuals came with their wives, and they came with their family, and they came and they sat down and had a good time. Mm-hmm. David Shepherd brought the keynote speaker, and that keynote speaker talked about how great the candidacy was and how great this person was and what he did for him and how mm-hmm. he helped him. So it was a different take on what the situation is. Now, the NDP party lost their constituency running. They didn't have as many chairs, and it was pretty...
Drastic.
I think there were 26 chairs for the NDP, and there were 63 for the UCP.
How do you think the NDP does it motivating young people?
In my experience, I used to know a young lady who was vibrant in the community, mm-hmm. The young black lady who now lives in Toronto. But while she was here, the NDP actually went to her and said, you should be an MLA. So they got her at 19 and said, you need to be an MLA.
Is it Rakesh?
Rakesh.
Yeah.
So Rakesh came in.
Haven't never met her either.
Oh, she's fantastic.
I'm sure she is. I'm all over her Facebook.
She's amazing.
She's super smart. That was the signal.
So... so we have upcoming events. Some of the things that we do throughout the month, that I do throughout the month, I emcee many events and I sing at different events as well. Places such as Station, different church events. So I'm all over the city doing emceeing for all types of events. So tomorrow, April 18th, I will be emceeing at the Bent Arrow Society.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to be tomorrow when the people listen to this.
Today, April 18th, because it is today.
It's today right now. It is
today right now. So later on today, I will be there from 10 o'clock till 3. We're going to have a great time. It's going to be a multicultural
event. Is that?
It's a multicultural event, it's called.
Oh, that's what it's called. Mm-hmm. So is the idea is fusing these different cultures together?
Yes.
Fantastic. That sounds awesome.
The Bent Arrow Society is all about inclusion for all races. Mm-hmm. So they include First Nations, they include Black people.
Intersectionality at its best, I guess, right?
That's it, right.
Okay.
So, I love doing this event. Last event that we did was amazing for Black History Month. We had their celebration that they had. Fantastic event. Huge turnout. This one's going to be just as good.
Yeah.
On the 18th.
Okay. That sounds good. What else you got?
What else do I got?
Yeah.
May 19th. May 19th, I will be emceeing.
All the way in May? We skip April?
Oh, wait, there's
a hold on.
Sorry, I forgot about April. We have on April
27th. Hey.
So on April 27th, there are many things happening on April 27th. So let's start earlier in the day. Earlier in the day, there will be the Edmonton Natural Hair Show, which will be at Boyle Street Plaza.
That's the fourth annual? Is this the fourth annual?
I believe it's the fourth annual.
Edmonton Natural Hair Show, yeah.
And that will be on the 27th and 28th. That'll be in the daytime.
At Boyle Street again.
Boyle Street.
I love that place.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's really nice. Is that recently built or was it redone?
It was redone. I think it was recently built and they renovated it a little bit.
Okay. And so, then you recently told me there's like a YMCA in there, too. I didn't even know that.
There is. So there's the Y in there. It's pretty much downtown, so it's really good, downtown Edmonton.
Yeah, it's central.
So we're going to have a great time. That natural hair show
is always a good time.
Amazing.
Everybody's like, I never knew there was this many natural hair people in Edmonton. So it's a really great chance to like, connect. There's a lot of awesome new brands that are coming out now. There's a lot of local people making natural hair products as well. And I support local, period. I'm not for everybody. My products may not be for everybody, but I definitely feel like we should be finding someone local, especially now. I think I could probably list off 5 brands without even going into it who are customizing products for people. So
super I personally feel that your products are for everybody. That's just personal. They are really good products that you have homegrown and create in the lab right here in Edmonton.
But available at Aphrodisiac Natural Shop. That's 11445 124th Street, Unit 211.
Shameless plug.
No shame in that plug whatsoever.
So the question is, you're normally at the Natural Hair Show, but this year you're not at the Natural Hair Show. I believe you have something coming up. What's going on?
Actually, a really exciting thing is coming up. We have the grand opening of Aphrodisiac Natural Loft. We have an amazing new space. It took us like a year to procure. Janelle Austin is like the most incredible realtor ever. And we managed to secure this huge space that will eventually be a multi-use space. So what I would like is for people to come out, see the space. We'll have some food. We'll have beverages. And also bring me ideas of things that we would like to do, because it is hard to get space in Edmonton. So let's see what we can do together and see what we can build together. And that is going to be after the Edmonton Natural Hair Show. So we're going to be start rolling probably around 5 o'clock. No, not probably around. That's what lay people say. So we're going to, the event is scheduled from 5 to 9. And we are on 124th Street and 115th Avenue, the corner. It's a green building. At the time, I think we'll have a stickers and a sandwich board and all that stuff showing you how to get upstairs. But you're essentially going to use the door beside the liquor store and come up to unit 211. And it's just going to be a mixer, real low impact. My staff will be here. My friends and family will be here. And we're going to have a good time. I think you're coming too, right?
Yes, I'll be there after.
Nigel, what are you listening to these days? What do you have in your ears? What's in your...
So that is a great question. To put a little background spin on things, I grew up in church, so I always have an eye for church music. But lately, I have PJ Morton on my docket. I listen to him.
He's R&B?
Yeah, he's R&B.
Okay. Guy. Is he gospel?
He's a little bit of gospel.
Okay. Too. Okay.
He stems from a huge background of gospel music. So, Pastor.
I feel like most people do.
Pastor Paul Morton is his father and has a.
Big following?
Yeah, he has a good following and he has a Grammy Award winning album.
Okay.
Wow. But PJ, his son, has worked on, he used to be one of the musical directors for Erykah Badu. He's worked with Music Soul Child. He's worked with quite a few top artists. Mm-hmm. Jill Scott, I believe he was on there. Mm-hmm. And he's helped these artists win Grammys. So now...
Oh, I think I've seen this guy before in a video or something.
Probably.
Okay.
Probably. So now PJ was nominated for... a few Grammys, and he won one of the Grammys. I can't remember the actual title that he won, but his album, Gumbo, is amazing.
Really?
And I love listening to it.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good. His album, Gumbo.
Cool.
What are you listening to?
I am listening to Soca. Ha ha! 2019 is amazing, actually. This is, to me, one of my favorite years since 2015, I think, was the last year that I was this excited about the music. I'm definitely going to Vinci Carnival this year. I'm so excited with Mr. Noel. And soon, all the Vinci music is being released. So I'm really excited to kind of feel the vibes and see what's going to happen. And, you know, Skinny, Marshall, and Bungie had a big Road March win this year with Famalay, Lay, 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 Lay. Was that all the lays?
There's a lot of lays in there. You can take a couple out.
Right. So I'm actually playing in Skinny section in Oxygen Mass Band this summer. So I'm really excited. There's a bunch of local people here in Edmonton that's going this summer as well. So I'm expecting that come Carrie West in August, we are definitely going to bring all those vibes back. And the Jab Jab Band is being released soon as well. Registration for that band, we just... book DJ Gel and all that stuff. So I'm like super excited for all that stuff to come up. And Soca's just like powering me through all of this work, pretty much.
Awesome. I love Soca. I fell in love with Soca just recently again. And met up with Soca again. And we have a torrid love affair that I got back on, especially in 2019. So
it's a good year.
It is. The songs are amazing. Introduce
yeah,
my children.
It's awesome. Yeah. It's a good year.
To Soca. They are like, what is this, Dad? What is that?
No, I knew I made it when Soca made my 16-year-old's playlist. I was like, yes! I successfully passed down the culture when I heard it blasting out in the back bathroom. But one day I heard Wine Slow coming out of there. I was like, bum, 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 bum. What do you know about that? What's going on in there? Oh, goodness. All right. So we're going to wrap it up. That's it for us this week. A little sample of what's to come. Mm-hmm. Some mic checks, some sound checks. You can give us any feedback, what you like, what you don't like. We don't care that much, but we're definitely taking it into consideration. Catch up with us in the short order at the Bent Arrows Society, which is now today. You can also, on April 27th, you can see Nigel at the Edmonton Natural Hair Show. And after that, you can come over for some refreshments and snacks at the Aphrodisiac Natural Shop opening.
Right.
And that's it for us.